I have a new guest on the telephone to talk with us about the spiritual weapons that we've been armed with by God to defeat Satan. Pastor Mike Hogart is the senior shepherd of Bethel Church in Festus, Missouri. His website is WatchmanVideoBroadcast.com. Pastor Hogart, welcome to True News.
It's good to be with you, and I appreciate what you're saying there about holding the fort and the invasion that is coming on the world, I believe, very soon. And I am in agreement with you. I think God is mustering his soldiers, his army, and equipping them spiritually to be ready to do battle. That, you know, David was a man of war. David said in the Psalms, "Lord, teach my fingers to fight, teach my hands to know warfare." And I can say truly in my life, God has been training me in my personal life, in my ministry, in marriage, and family raising, and every aspect of that, to do warfare. And you mentioned our website, WatchmanVideoBroadcast.com. I never asked for this. When I went into the ministry, when I surrendered the call to preach back when I was 16 years old, I never saw what God was going to do. I was just willing to let God do something. And in the last about 13, 14 years, he's given me a watchman ministry, and that is to watch and see what's going on, to sound the trumpet of the word of God in the last days, to warn everybody the time is drawing near and the enemy is advancing.
Well, the fight is on. I've never seen anything like this before. I've never witnessed anything like this before. I've been in intense personal spiritual battles, you know, where Satan has come after me.
Yes.
Or our ministry. But I've never seen anything like this on this scale against an entire nation. And this is a coordinated, well-planned, well-choreographed, demonic invasion. And the fight is on. And as I said, most of the church in America is not even aware that it's taking place. They're just being overrun. And I think the spiritual men and women that are aware feel like they're being overwhelmed because they see it, they feel it, they sense it, they know it's happening, and as there's an overwhelming feeling that this is too big, too massive for us. But the name of Jesus will defeat every devil.
Amen. You mentioned the night of the election, and I'm like you. I did not vote for Mitt Romney. I felt like that was, he was not the guy that I wanted. The guy that I wanted probably didn't even run for president. But that night, as I'm watching the election returns, and I'll be honest with you, I'm half expecting Mitt Romney to win. But when I see then that Barack Obama's going to take it, and I realized right then that I don't live in the America that I thought that I lived in. I don't live in the country that I thought that I lived in. And somebody had, one of our followers had noted me on Facebook and said, "Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? This is terrible." What I responded to her with was, "We're going to roll our sleeves up and we're going to go to work is what we're going to do." I think the American church and American Christianity has relied too much upon the government and too much upon our culture to do the job of spreading the gospel and teaching morality and things like that. And now we know and realize and are waking up to the fact that the government is not going to do what Christ told us to do. The government is not going to promote morality. The government is not going to promote male-female marriage, traditional marriage. The government is not going to promote the work ethic given in the Bible, and the government is not going to promote Bible Christianity. And so now, for the first time, Christians, true Christians in America, those who are aware, those who study the Word, know the Word, love the Lord, and are ready to die for the Lord, ready to lose everything for the Lord, those people are waking up and becoming aware that the message of the Scripture to us is all too clear, and it's time for it to come to pass. If I may, in reference to what you were saying about the Lord sharing with you holding the fort, because the invasion is coming, I like to tell people that I am a conspiracy factualist. I believe in conspiracies. I believe that spirits are part of that conspiracy. If you want to look in Isaiah 14, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? And then it mentions five things there, which, incidentally, there's a symbol for Satanism called the pentagram. It has 5 points, and I believe that number five in the scripture points to that, because if you look in Isaiah 14, he says, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. Those are interesting things, because it's Lucifer saying, I will, I will, I will. This is what he purposes to do. This is his goal and his aim. He said, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. The congregation is the church. The congregation is God's people. And you and I both know, as having a watchman type ministry, we can see the attack and the invasion of Satan and his devils inside the church. The false doctrines are creeping in everywhere. The Bible is being pushed to the side. And now we're experience motivated. We want feelings. We want a flash in the pan. We want spiritual pep rallies in our church. But nobody wants the sincere meat and milk of the Word of God. And so the devil promises that his goal and his aim, number one, is to exalt himself above the stars of God, which is the angelic realm. And we see that taking place in Revelation chapter 12. There was a war in heaven. But then the attack on the church. And then he says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And then he said, I will be like the Most High. It's always interesting to me that Lucifer never said that he was going to try to be like Buddha or Joseph Smith or Allah or the Prophet Muhammad. He already is those people. He promised and he swore that he would be like the Most High. You and I both know that is God. And so he wants to be, Ezekiel 28, he wants to be worshipped as God on the throne, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, so that he is God sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's the conspiracy right there. And so the operation of that conspiracy we see in different places in the Bible. And so the Bible teaches us, I have Ephesians 6 pulled up here, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to, and here's words here that Paul used repeatedly in this passage, withstand in the evil day. And brother, I think that's what you're referring to. There is going to be an evil day coming on this world, and God wants us to be able to, he uses the word withstand, and then he says, having done all, to stand. And then verse 14, he says it again, stand therefore. And what I like to teach people with our ministry and the things that God has helped me with is the contrasts that are given in the Bible, or the opposites. We have God who is in heaven. We have the beast who is in the pit. They are opposite one of another. Heaven and hell, opposite one of another. And so Christians, God gives them the strength. He gives us, he strengthens our feeble knees, the Bible says. And he gives us the ability to stand. And standing is vital for a Christian. You know, we use that phrase, take a stand. I'm going to take a stand against this. And basically what that means is that we literally, with our body language, we are standing up. We are putting ourselves in a position. We're digging our heels in, and we're saying, we're not moving. We're not going to budge. We're not going to, we're not going to compromise our ideas. Contrast that then with Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2, for that day shall not come, except there come not a standing, but a falling away. Think of the imagery in the valley where Nebuchadnezzar had built that image, and what he wanted to do, what he wanted everybody to do, what he commanded everybody to do, in the day that he sounded that music, he wanted them to fall and worship this false god. And yet we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who have been given the ability and the grace of God not to fall away during that time, but to stand. And I believe, as I think what I heard you mention, that God is separating out his believers, his people, his army, his soldiers, his sanctified ones, and the contrast between the real Christians and the fake and the phony ones is whether or not they are standing, or they have or are in the process of falling away. And those are the very simple things that God shows us in the scriptures and gives us light so that we can see what's going on in these last days.
Pastor, I don't have any illusions that we're going to have a utopian world in this life, you know, through a benevolent Christian government. That's not realistic.
Right.
But history, however, shows us that there have been numerous tyrants who have rose and fell. But time went on.
Mm-hmm.
Should the church be waging militant spiritual warfare right now against this evil regime that is ruling the USA?
Well, I believe in spiritual warfare, definitely. And I believe that spiritual warfare basically implies that you're fighting against spirits. I mean, that's what Paul was saying here. He's saying, he said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." My fight is not with Barack Obama. I don't like Barack Obama. I don't like his policies. I don't like his arrogance. And, you know, we get accused of being racist. I am a million miles away from that. But
when I say regime, I'm not even talking about a Democratic Party government or a Republic. I'm talking about the regime that controls both of them.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm with you there. There are evil people behind the scenes that are working. But beyond them, we have what Paul told us to watch for. Number one, principalities. And this is interesting because these are all devils, principalities, powers, rulers of the darknesses of the world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Notice the spirit there, the rulers of the darkness of this world. Principalities are devils that primarily work in realms of authority. Principalities work through, let's take America, for example. I believe, and I would assume that you believe, that the greatest thing that we have in this country is our written constitution. It was the set of laws that we all agreed to. It's like a contract between the people and the government. And that contract, I believe, is still in force and should still be in force. And the greatest thing that we have is the written word, just like the Bible is God's contract with us. It's his covenant. The constitution. Well, you and I both know that if the politicians, if the powers that be, want to conquer America, they have to do so against the contract or the Constitution. Principalities are the devils that are responsible for that. They're responsible for the transfer of authority, whereby right now in this country, the final authority in this country is the Constitution. When an officer or an elected politician or even the president swears the oath of office, they're swearing not to protect the government. They're swearing not to protect the people. They're swearing to protect and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And so principalities then are going to work behind the scenes, work through the president, work through the Congress, work through the Supreme Court, work through all the alphabet soup of government agencies and government regulations and rules to circumvent the Constitution. You and I, we're seeing a battle right now. This is a big thing. We just did a video in our ministry called God, Guns, and Liberty. And I by no means am a violent person. I'm sort of a wimp, if you want to put it in words that way. But I believe in defending my family and against harm and things like that. And you and I both know we can see it coming in this country that there is a concerted effort against the Constitution to take the weapons away from the Americans.
That's right.
Put this in the spiritual realm. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 13. The Philistines, who had so much control, Philistines are always a type, a shadow of these devils. Philistines had so much control in the land of Israel during when Saul was king. The Philistines would not allow the Israelites to have any blacksmith or anyone who could forge weapons. They would not allow anybody to have a sword or a spear or anything like that. They would not allow them to have weapons. Only, this is very interesting, only Saul and Jonathan had a sword, which basically means only the government or only the hierarchy had the weapons. We see this being wanting to be done in this country. But let's look at the church. The church is right now, most church people are relegating their priesthood, their authority, their kingship, over to the pastors, to the Bible scholars, to the theologians and the seminarians and things like that. In other words, they've handed over their weapon, the Word of God. They've handed over their shield. They've handed over their helmet. They've handed over everything to the hierarchy, and they say, you tell us what to believe and we'll do it. Roman Catholicism operated that way for over 1,000 years, still wanting to operate that way, because it was said that only the priests have a right to know what the Bible says, and we'll tell you what to believe. That left the common man weaponless against those spiritual enemies, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. We're seeing that same thing done in the church today, and the sad thing is that the devil is not going in churches confiscating Bibles. The church people are handing them in. And this is, we're seeing the same thing in this country with the government buyback programs of weapons. People are turning, voluntarily turning their weapons in. And it is a huge mistake, both in the country and in the church.
On this issue of physical weapons, it appears that Mr. Obama is going to announce or even implement very stringent federal gun control regulations. A lot of people think he's going to do it by written executive order. He's just going to bypass the Congress, mm-hmm. and he's just going to declare certain guns to be illegal. He's going to order people to surrender the firearms. He may order mandatory registration. I don't know if this guy is willing to go that far, but I would not be surprised. And they're saying it's going to happen by the end of January. Pastor, if this guy goes that far and begins to act like a dictator and says it is a federal offense for you to even own certain guns and you are required now to turn them in, what do you think is going to happen in this country?
Two things that I've got to say about that. Number one, I like what you said, the president acting like a dictator. If you go back and look at Israel, you look at how God organized the Israelites when he brought them out of Egypt. He did not give them a king. He let them self-rule themselves. There were elders over all the tribes. We now know that as the Sanhedrin. And they divided themselves up by territories, just like the United States did in its early days and still to this day. And those tribes had rule over their own people. The tribe of Naphtali, the elders of Naphtali ruled over them. The people ruled themselves. God gave them land, which is, I believe, is very biblical. God gave them private ownership of land, private ownership of property. God gave them self-rule and self-reliance and self-control based upon his law. It was only in the days of Samuel, and here we see a mirror of this today. Because the priesthood, through Eli and even through Samuel, because the priesthood, the religious figures dropped the ball and they were no longer defending the law, they were no longer living in a moral way, the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, they had practically ruined it for everybody. Because of that, the people then rejected God's plan for self-government and self-rule, and they said, give us a king. We want one man to rule over us. The same thing exists in this country, and one of the things to look for, number one, is the gridlock that's in Congress right now. And what's going to happen is you're going to see the American citizen say, well, Congress, they can't get anything done. It's worthless. It's useless. It's effortless. Let's give the president the total control to do these things. So that's one aspect of it. The second aspect of it is, Jesus taught us very clearly. He said, a kingdom divided against itself, or then another gospel says, a nation divided against itself, cannot stand. One of the things that, it's our very name, the United States of America. And so something that you and I both know is that over there on the East Coast, over there on the left coast or the West Coast, they're all about, let's take away all the guns. They don't care. When you get into the heart of America, like here in Missouri, when you get in Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, Montana, places like that, Idaho, where people love their freedom, they enjoy their freedom, they have guns. I have guns in my home. I've got one next to me right now. you and I both know because of what we've seen recently with states coming out against the federal government on the health care issue, on the gun issue. One of the states, I think it was Montana or one of them, that basically passed a law that said any federal regulation of a gun does not apply to a gun that is manufactured and sold in the state of Montana. So we already have a setup where the states are going to pull away or work against the federal government. This is not unprecedented in this country, but we haven't seen an issue like this since the Civil War. And here's what I think that the watcher, the watchman, those who are, love the Lord, love the Bible, know the Bible, know that these principles are true, something for us to watch for is the idea that if Obama does this thing, he, in essence, by this action, is going to begin to divide the nation. And
but is that his strategy? I've said for four years that this guy's going to start a civil war.
I believe it is because you know those who study prophecy, those who study things like the New World Order, things like that, we're familiar with the concept of what's called the Hegelian dialect, thesis mingled with antithesis, two opposing ideas. When they clash, they create a new synthetic idea. And so what I see happening, and I actually have a video on this called Baphomet, the God of Transformation. The way that the devil chooses to transform things is to fuse the opposites together. And so here we have, I'll just use simple terms. We have black and white in this country. We have Democrat and Republican. We have liberal and conservative. We have North and South. And we have all these ideas that, so far, we've been fairly civil about it, but what I believe is going to happen, especially when you deal with guns, I know people in my area. I have them going to my church. They have told me. I know other pastors. I know a lot of people that are basically saying, if you come to try to take away my weapon, I will use it. That's not, I love freedom, and I think God has taken a stand. That's not a good situation because, and I agree with you, I think the whole idea of Obama doing this is that he wants to wreck the country so that it can be remade into a new nation, a new world order, a new system, because these people hate the Constitution. They want it done away with, and the only way to do that is to crash the system. They're doing it economically. They're doing it morally. They're doing it constitutionally or unconstitutionally.
Do you think he's plotting to create a civil war so that there is an open door for foreign troops to come into the USA?
Well, I think that is a given. I know a lot of people in law enforcement in this area. And they're good people. Missouri is a right to carry state. We have a right to carry a concealed weapon. And most of the law enforcement people that I have talked to in the state of Missouri are going, yeah, we're all for it. You're the good guy, okay? We know that you're on the right side. They've got some sense. When it comes down to it, if there is to be a forced confiscation of weapons, most of the people in law enforcement that I know are not going to go along with it because they think it's a bad idea. And so you do set up this situation where you're going to have to bring the Hessians in, okay, the hired thugs like King George did. You're going to have to bring in the foreign troops in order to police this country because...
But if that happens, then the country, the patriots unite. The law enforcement, the military, the patriot citizens... They unite because they realize we're now under invasion.
Sure, they will, but that's the whole point, okay? You have to congeal them. Let me give you a little bit of mystery religion, if I can. Let me give you a little indoctrination on how mystery cults and the New World Order and Freemasonry works and everything like that. There's a symbol called Baphomet. A lot of people have seen it. You can Google it. It's this half man, half beast. Some say it's a picture of the devil, which I would agree with.
I take it you're not a member of the Freemason Lodge.
I am absolutely not a member of the Freemason Lodge.
All right, good.
Okay? And so anyway, on one arm, the arm pointing up, he's got the word salve, S-O-L-V-E. On the other arm pointing down, he's got coagula. And so what this is, if you study a little bit, you don't have to do a whole lot, you study a little bit about alchemy, the idea of turning lead into gold, which is actually false. It's the idea that goes back to the Garden of Eden of turning humans into immortals or gods. The principle of salve and coagula is that, number one, you have to dissolve first. Okay, so in alchemy, they were dissolving all these different minerals and elements and things like that, trying to make gold. But then you have to coagulate. You have to bring it all back together. You have to solidify. And right now, the enemy, or let's say the Patriots, okay, let's say the people that are not going to give up their guns. Right now, they're kind of scattered all over the place, okay? Well, in order to destroy them all, you've got to get them all in one place, okay? And I think that that is a very probable, I'm not a weatherman, I'm not a forecaster. I think it is a highly possible scenario that the whole idea of gathering those on, let's say, the Patriot side or the gun side or the constitutional side is part of the plan, so you know what direction to shoot in.
All right, you're saying that what part of the strategy that they're employing against us right now is that they are deliberately provoking and intensifying the division in the country to deliberately force the Patriots to identify themselves.
That's absolutely right. And remember now, when we say they, okay, we know that human agents are at work, but we also know the scripture and that we are dealing with devils. We're dealing with spirits who are higher in mentality than us, higher in knowledge, higher in ability. They're not all powerful. We have a God that's more powerful than them. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But we are dealing with spiritual forces that are moving and working in these things right now to bring that. And when you study these spirits and how they operate in the scripture, then you understand it, that yes, absolutely right. The goal is to divide the country so that it can be destroyed and conquered. You know, I mean, our own motto is united we stand, divided we fall. Think of those two words now. United we stand, divided we fall. And so the concept of these spirits working through people like Nancy Pelosi, Barack Obama, maybe even John Boehner. I mean, I don't know. I just don't think that if it's a Republican that he's necessarily a good guy anymore. And so, but something to take into consideration.
Well, Speaker Boehner has a good Jesuit education.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
People talk about, well, I think John Boehner's in the Illuminati. Here's the thing: you don't have to be. In God's viewpoint, according to the scripture, Paul talked about the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You don't have to be a Freemason or a witch or a member of the Illuminati or a New Ager in order to be working on the devil's side. All you have to do is be lost. That's what you have to be. And lost people are not under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. They are being led and controlled by the devil himself, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And so the devil is working through these entities, these agents, these people, these organizations, to divide this country, to bust it up, so that they could then conquer it and make it literally a new world order in the vision of, Francis Bacon.
Mm-hmm. He thought of the New World America would become New Atlantis.
The New Atlantis. That was the goal. That is still the goal. And that is what they're working toward.
Pastor, maybe about 4, maybe 5 years ago, a Russian professor, trying to think of his last name, he was a former KGB agent, and he made world headlines. The first newspaper carried it was the Wall Street Journal. I think his last name was Perrin, and he said that the United States would disintegrate, and it would be broken up into about 10 regions.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, China will run the West Coast, and Russia will get Alaska, and Mexico will get Texas in the Southwest, and, you know, he had it all divided up.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the country will implode because of its deficit spending, the devaluation of its money, its immorality, and he went on to describe, you know, what would cause the breakup, and he put a date on it. I think he said 2010. And my question is, do you think that Professor Perrin made that prediction based on just being insightful, and he could foresee what the trends were going, or do you think maybe being a former KGB agent, maybe he had some inside information of how the plan was going to unfold?
Well, I don't know that. I don't know, you know, why he said what he said. I know that anybody who will just stand back for a minute, take a look historically at how kingdoms rise and fall throughout history. Kingdoms rise and fall based upon their morality, based upon and immorality. When you have marital immorality prevalent in a society, you're always, that's not the only problem that you have. You also have dishonesty, you have thievery, you have egotism, you have a lot of pride. And look at what the Bible said the actual sin of Sodom was. Sodomite or sodomy, the homosexual act, was the fruit of their original sin. In the book of Ezekiel, I believe it's chapter 16, God said the sin of Sodom was, number one, that abundance of idleness, the fullness of bread, and pride. And this is America right now. We have we're a nation of entertainment. Have to be entertained 100% of the time.
Is Barack Obama God's judgment on the nation?
Oh, I absolutely believe that. And I believe that, you know, even when we had, you know, Bill Clinton in office, I'm going, well, America got what they wanted.
But if he is God's judgment, then can we pray militant prayers to stop him?
To stop God's judgment?
Well, this is what I'm saying. If Obama is God's judgment for our immorality, then are we spinning our wheels if we're praying for God to remove this man?
The Bible is clear on this issue. The only way to put off God's judgment is to repent.
Amen.
That was the case with Nineveh. That was the case with Josiah when they brought Josiah the law, and they read the law before him. They read the covenant to him. He rent his clothes, and he was in desperation. He said, God, I know you're going to get us for what we did, for what my fathers did. Lord, please, you know, hear me out. And God stayed his hand of judgment during the days of Josiah, and he held it off until, you know, the days of Manasseh and Jehoiakim and things like that. And I'll be honest with you, my firm belief is that if America can and will repent as a nation, I think God will pull back. He's very clear on that issue. But you go back and look at the book of Judges. In the book of Judges, when the nation of Israel was right with God, when God sent them a savior, like Gideon or Samson or any of these others, the people worshiped God, and God, as a result of the people following God, God blessed them. He did what he said he was going to do. He blessed their seed. He blessed their farms. He blessed their children. They became wealthy. And then when you become wealthy, you stop praying. You stop living for God. You stop depending on God. You start depending on yourself. And because you're wealthy, you don't work as hard, and you have idleness, and then you have fullness of bread, and you have everything like that. And that always, historically, it always breeds immorality. And when the immorality comes in, then you change God. You change who God is. The God of the Bible says you can't be a sodomite, okay? Well, the God that a lot of churches now are falling for is a recrafted, recarved God that says you can be a sodomite. I made you that way. You can even be a minister behind a pulpit and be a sodomite.
And Piers Morgan said we should just amend the Bible.
Yeah, let's rewrite the Bible. And I don't like him. He should go back to England.
But they don't want him. They have a petition in England to keep him out.
Yeah, yeah.
And besides, he'd be arrested if he went back there. He's involved in a hacking scandal.
Yeah, so that's what I heard.
He can't go back there. So, but the Bible clearly tells us what happens to a nation that turns against the commandments of God. And I guess the thing that is really the most astounding thing to me is that as the nation continues to descend, and we have financial problems and and our prestige is evaporating. Our power is disappearing. The banking system is crumbling. The economy is declining. The weather is changing. We have drought, and on and on and on. The really astounding thing to me, Pastor, is that so few pastors are connecting the dots and telling the nation this can be solved by repentance.
Yeah, they're hirelings. Jesus told us clearly about pastors and under-shepherds, and he said the hireling, he won't care about the sheep, he cares about the paycheck. And
do you think there's a separation of sheep and goats going on right now?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, I see it happening, I see it going on. And again, you just need to look to the plain of Dura for the example. There's going to be a call go out to worship this false god, this false, another Jesus, Paul said. It's not the same Jesus as the Jesus of the Gospel, Jesus of the New Testament, Jesus of the Bible. It's another Jesus. And as people, as God's people begin to turn away and worship this other Jesus, they are in a sense falling away while God's true people are still standing. And the devil cannot handle Christians that stand. He cannot handle it because he can't conquer them. He can't get to them. It's kind of like facing down a wolf. A wolf likes to get a man on the run. He likes to get him running away because the wolf can run faster than the man, and he'll bite his heels and cause him to fall, and then he's got him. But a man standing, a wolf cannot conquer, and he knows it. And the Bible says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. The devil's a beast. He's a dragon. He's a serpent.
And all that wolf can do is growl.
That's exactly right. And the devil's growling, and people are falling for it. And, study 1 Corinthians 10. Look at the examples that Paul gave to God's people of what happened to them in the wilderness. They fell. They fell because of their immorality, because of their fornication, because of their greed, because of their worshiping of idols and false gods. They fell. And Paul said, Paul warns us, New Testament church, don't do that. Stay away from it.
Well, in the beginning of this interview, I shared with everyone what I had heard in my spirit that one night when the Lord said, hold the fort, hold the fort. And I believe this is the message to everyone listening right now. In your home, hold the fort. In your business, hold the fort. In your church, hold the fort. We're under a demonic attack, but you hold the fort. Wherever you are, if your marriage is, and family is under attack, hold the fort. Hold the fort. Stand in the power and the might of the Lord Jesus Christ and hold the fort. If your business is being attacked, hold the fort. If you're a pastor and your church is being attacked, hold the fort. This is a full-scale D-Day, Demon Day invasion. But God will not desert his brave men and women who stand and face the devil and have no fear in their eyes. That's the main thing. Do not allow any fear to come into your heart. We will stand and we will be victorious. Others will fall. You and I will stand. We will stand in the might and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the glorious thing is he's coming back. He's
Amen.
Coming back. And that's my hope. I'm not a citizen of any nation. I am a citizen of the kingdom of God. And my future home is New Jerusalem, and I am longing for it, and I am eager for it, and my bags are packed, and I'm waiting, and I'm looking every day, and I would be glad if it came today. Let's get out of here. I want to be with Jesus. But in the meantime, hold the fort and be brave in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My guest today, Pastor Mike Hogard, he's the senior shepherd of Bethel Church, Festus, Missouri. And you can watch his teachings. He's got a great website with videos. It is watchmanvideobroadcast.com. Pastor Hogard, thank you so much for being on True News.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, and hope we get to do it again sometime.